We're going to go to Genesis chapter 27. Verse 1, I want to follow up. There's a lot of background this morning that I shared just by speaking of it, that we were in Genesis 27. Remember, we started back on Wednesday nights back in there. It was 2017, and these are familiar verses, but I did just give a lot on my own background. So let's just pick up Genesis 27, verse 1. So it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." He was a long time from dying, but he just didn't know, obviously. Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats from there. Now I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother, "Rebekah, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son, only obey my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them, brought them to his mother. His mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father. He came his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it you have have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate. He also brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food. brought it to his father. He said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, who is he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? And yes, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? But Isaac replied to Esau, behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now, as for you then, what can I do, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that he will break his yoke from your neck. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we see your guiding hand in shenanigans that were attempted to guide the will of humans over yours. And it seems that we would not see such a thing as we see in this chapter. But these are human beings, and human beings are prone to such. We wish for things and try to make them happen. Lord, I pray that you would teach us the fear of the Lord and how we are to be those who are glad of your will and not of our own, that we might be your servants indeed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read this, you know, we're often shocked at how politicians lie. And we see it, it's like breathing for them. They just say something. Lies are attributed to science now. People are saying when they lie, they're actually speaking what is scientifically proven when it's not. We got so much of that. Lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. So when we come to this chapter, we have not from politicians, but from people who know the Lord's will. One of the patriarchs, Isaac, is being lied to. I'll speak a little bit of what he might have been involved in as well, but, you know, in manipulating. But Isaac couldn't see anymore, so he was ripe for deception. And Jacob was a deceiver by his birth, by grabbing the heel of Esau like he was trying to get the birthright at birth. And then later on, by the stew, Esau sold his birthright. And so now we come down to Isaac thinks he's soon to die. He was old. We're not exactly sure how old he was. He was, over 100. He was, I think around 117, 138. I mean, it's hard to say, but he lived quite a few decades after this. It's just that he was getting the blessing done now because he didn't know. It's a, okay, it's wise. So he tells Esau to go and get the game and he'll bless him. Now, we have to ask the questions. When twins were in Rebekah's womb, she asked the Lord what was going on. I read that to you this morning. And Rebekah was told that there were two nations in her womb. That would be Jacob or Israel and Edom, Esau. And that one of the things that was told to her from the Lord is that the elder would serve the younger, which is to say that Esau would serve Jacob. Esau came first, and then moments later, grabbing Esau's heel, Jacob came. So I'm assuming now, just if a wife gets a revelation from God about what's been going on in her pregnancy, that she would relate that to Isaac, and that Isaac would know that that was the Lord's declaration and will, that the younger son would be the heir, and he would have the rights of the heir over the older son. I also think it's reasonable to think that Isaac knew about the stew deal, where the birthright was sold. It doesn't say exactly, but you know, it's very likely that this was something that was known by Isaac. So Isaac knows a couple of things here relating to the future. That God himself has said the elder will serve the younger. And that Esau has despised his birthright by, in the moment of hunger, selling it, swearing it to Jacob, who was an opportunist and a conniver in getting this. So you're dealing with people who are deceitful. Jacob is deceitful. Rebekah is deceitful, as we see here. And Isaac, although not deceitful here, is wanting to elevate his eldest son to the position of the blessing of the heir because it's what he wants. If he knows the other things, he's doing that which he knows is not the will of God. So you got a wreck here going on where Isaac is trying to push Esau to the top, and Rebekah is trying to push Jacob to the top. And behind it all is the word of God before they were born that Jacob would be the heir. So the plot is hatched. And Rebekah says, listen, I heard your father send Esau off to get game and to come home and bless him. You got to steal that. You got to get in the way of that. So you bring me the game, I'll fix it up and we'll go in and you get the blessing instead of Esau. This is quite a crowd here we're dealing with. And so he says, you know, how in the world can that happen? Because their voices are different. Their skin is different. Esau is a hairy man and Jacob is a smooth man. And he says, you know, my father will feel me, verse 12, and I'll be as a deceiver in his sight, and I'll have a curse upon myself. Although the covenant of God is given to Abraham and then to Isaac, they're not necessarily practically godly people at this stage. This morning I talked about the fact that the Lord appeared to Jacob, and Jacob made a commitment to the Lord then and was enlightened as to the presence of the Lord in his life. And he may have had quite a change then, but before not, because he lies flat out here. His mother said, "Your curse be on me." Jacob's was not fearful of displeasing the Lord. He was fearful of getting cursed by his father, by his voice and his skin, and being found out to be a deceiver. So he went and did it. Rebecca took some of the garments of Esau, which were in the house. She made the meal. She put the clothes on Jacob and put the skins of the young goats on his hands that make him rough, and on the back of his neck to make him rough. And sent Jacob in with it. He comes in and says, "My father," and Isaac says, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Well, what part of that is right? "I've done as you told me." Another lie. "Get up, please, sit and eat of my game that you may bless me." But you know, he didn't even properly disguise his voice. Isaac said, "How'd you get the food so fast?" And he said another lie, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Well, that's also wrong. So Jake and Isaac is very much in doubt. So he says, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob's got to be sweating this out. You know, he's not convincing his father of the deception. So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So he felt the skin, the goat's skin on him, and said, "Well, sorry, but the skin feels right." But you got that soft voice, that Jacob voice. But he didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he says again, verse 24, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Flat out lie. So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him and he ate. He also brought him wine and he drank. And he's still in doubt, I think, because he says, "Come and kiss me, my son." I think he was checking him out again. And so he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." So he was deceived. I can't think the Lord is pleased with any of this. We know that he is not for lying. It will end up in the Ten Commandments. That this deception is wrong. It's a violation of the fact that God is a God of truth. And that the manipulation on all sides, including Isaac's, was not pleasing to him. However, As often is the case with Pharaoh later on, Pharaoh's attempts, God used for his glory. Judas with Jesus, his attempts, God used for his glory. And so in this case, God has already said the elder will serve the younger. And he's using this to bring about what his will is, without condoning, of course, the deception. And so he was deceived and gave him the blessing. That blessing is in verse 28 and the verses that follow. The verse that follows says, may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. You master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. So he made him the heir. He declared to him the blessing of the heir. And he went and got out of there. And as soon as he got out, said he'd hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau came in from hunting. And we're on a very edge of time here, again, indicative of God using this while not condoning it. So Esau got home and made savory food and brought it to his father, and his father's already full from the other thing. And he comes in and says, let my father arise and eat of his son's game that he may bless me. Now, Esau never was much for the blessing of the firstborn, not way back then. It was only at the end, when it was time to give it, that he paid any heed to it. But before, meant anything to him. He lived in the moment. So Esau is coming and saying, here he is, and Isaac is saying, who are you again? Who is this just Cain? And Isaac knew he had been deceived. It's amazing, really, in the next chapter as it opens, the one we were in this morning, that Isaac blesses Jacob and sends him away to keep him safe from Esau, and to enable him to have a wife from his relatives and not from the land of Canaan. Because you'd think he'd be a little bit upset about it. Esau comes, gets a secondary blessing. And it says it in verse 35, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. So the blessing he got was not the blessing that he would have gotten. But if he had gotten the blessing that he would have gotten, if he had gotten there first, it would not have been the blessing that God wanted him to have. So he blessed him. Verse 39, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. That's the opposite, really, of Jacob's, who was to be fed of the dew of heaven and have great produce from the earth. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. It shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. Now we know what he wanted to do was break Jacob's neck. So Esau held a grudge, verse 41, against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. Now that's to come to a head later on. But the blessing goes to Jacob, as is the will of God, even among all this trickery. This crowd here, Rebekah and Jacob, well, they could jump right into politics today and be right on up to speed. People lie to further their own cause, protect themselves or advance themselves. This is all a big lie fest, and yet we find a few places in Scripture where the Lord describes what's going on. One of which is in Malachi. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now, hear what this says. Malachi 1, 1, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? And here's the Lord's answer. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob, and I have hated Esau, and I have made his mountains a desolation and appointed his inheritance to the jackals of the wilderness. So the Lord had cursed Edom, Esau, and blessed Jacob. So the doubt that the people had in Malachi's day that the Lord was loving them, he said, just look at that. Another passage is Romans chapter 9. And Romans 9, of course, Romans is about salvation by grace and the Lord's sovereign will in saving. He says in Romans 9, Paul says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I would wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. Whose are the fathers? And from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. But, he says, it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but there was Rebekah also. This is where we are tonight. When she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. So through all of this, this is what we mean when we're speaking of God's appearance, pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ. What he's doing in these is carrying out, superintending his will of redemption. Jacob, Israel, is the one chosen, not Esau. Isaac's desire was for Esau, even though he knew that it was not supposed to be, I think. Rebekah wanted Jacob, not because of the Lord, but because probably just of her will. They employed deceptive means, lied as bold as you can lie. And what does Paul say? he says that this is proving that this stands from the will of God, not from the will of man. And no matter what they tried, however they tried to manipulate, the reason we're saved and the reason salvation was brought through Christ is because of the will of God. God willed this, and it happened. That is of comfort to us in our day. We always have liars aplenty in the world. This is frustrating. That's why it's probably not a good idea to watch too much news. It'll sink your spirit. You hear people lying. People say if you don't agree with them, you're not even a Christian. Not if you don't agree with Christ, if you don't agree with them on a voting rights bill or something that they like. And they're messed up in the head, and they figure if you disagree with them being messed up in it, then you're not right. And it's maddening to hear all these things that are being done. Things being done to kids, all the illogical things being declared in our day. We're fighting idiots who are in charge. And it's discouraging. But one thing we see in this is that all this manipulation, all this evil, the Lord works it his will through that. You can't beat God. Now, these people will all stand to face judgment unless they're forgiven. Jacob surely turned around. But the attempts to thwart the will of God, it's just, we need to take comfort in that, just as Jacob took comfort in his dream, that even though it seemed he was alone, that the Lord was not only there, but active and with angelic messengers in his service to benefit his chosen one, the one through whom he would work redemption. So the patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob now is from this morning being brought nearer to the Lord on his journey and encouraged in his wanderings, which are going to have some hard times in it. But the Lord, again, is superintending to accomplish his will, which he does all things after the counsel of his will. Let's pray. We're left to ourselves. We always mess things up. The world messes things up for the world. And Lord, our hope is in you, that you would right the wrongs, stop the deception and the terrible leadership that we have today because people don't know you, and the terrible laws that are being pushed and ideologies that are being foisted upon us in wickedness, that the wicked things are called righteous and that the righteous things are called wicked, and people are taking upon themselves that they are the arbiters of truth and righteousness. And Lord, what a terrible thing in your sight. But we see here, Lord, that you are not taken down by it, but you work your will through it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.